Thank you for joining us for A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's services, which was our Easter service. Please know you're always more than welcome to join us live and in person at our services, which today, Sunday school starts at 9:30, church services at 10:30, and we'd be glad to see you. Again, thank you for listening.
As we begin our worship with a call to worship. As the sun rises this Easter morning, we gather in the quiet beauty of a new day.
Just as the darkness gives way to light, so the power of death has been overcome by the light of the resurrection.
The tomb is empty, hope is alive, and Christ walks with us still.
Let us worship the risen Lord.
Please join me in singing Christ the Lord is risen today. Please join me in the prayer of the day. Risen Christ,
as the sun rises on this Easter morning, shine your light into our hearts. Open our eyes to see you walking beside us. Open our minds to understand your word. And open our lives to share the good news of your resurrection and hope. For you have conquered death and brought life.
Jenny Medlin leads our children's time.
Good morning! Hosanna! And happy Easter, everybody! It's so great to see you all. Can you help me tell the good news about today? What are we celebrating this Easter morning?
God.
We're celebrating God, but specifically, we're celebrating Jesus, right? Do you remember the stone was rolled away from the tomb? And what was there? There was actually nothing. Nobody was in there. His body was gone. The claws that wrapped his wounds, they were lying there. But Jesus' body was gone. Because the good news is, he has risen. Yes, Jesus is risen. Our Lord, our Savior. He fulfilled the prophecy, and he did. He then appeared to Mary Magdalene, and said, "Go and tell the good news. I have risen. Jesus died for our sins. He saved us, and he arose from the dead." I want us to learn some words of praise today. Can you help me shout real loud? Who's got their voice on this morning? Go ahead and cough if you need to clear your throat, right? Okay, so the first word is Hosanna. You ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Hosanna! Oh, nice one. I know you can be louder though, right? If you need to stand up, go ahead. I feel it. Okay, who can say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Oh, I like it. Should we do three again? One, two, three. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Good job. Very good. And how about thanks be to God? Can we say that? One, two, three. Thanks be to God. Yes, Hosanna, hallelujah. Praise, thanks be to God. And one that we all are familiar with, at the end of our prayers, what do we say? Amen. Maybe you say amen. So on three, let's say it real loud. One, two, three. Amen. Yeah, you might hear, can I get an amen? Yeah, good job. So today, as you go throughout your Easter celebration, remember the good news. Share it. Say those words of praise. All right? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you. We are so pleased and grateful and gracious for your love, for your Son who came, who lived, who healed, who served, who died for our sins, and who is risen to be by your side, to show us the ways, to open the doors to heaven for us, so we too may enter and live with you eternally. Give us grace, give us pleasure, and let us praise your name today and always. Happy Easter. Amen. Thank you all. Happy Easter. Have a great day.
Our senior choir sings their Easter anthem, Christ is Risen.
Christ is living, Christ is living.
our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Lena Eddy's sermon, What's in a Name?
The first lesson comes from Acts, the 10th chapter, verses 34 to 43. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who drank and ate with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of the sins through his name." Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from John 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' Peter then came out with the other disciple, and they went toward the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying and the napkin, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus was laid, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him.' Saying this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Hebrew, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher. Jesus said to her, 'Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went and said to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord.' And she told them he had said these things to her." Here ends the lesson.
Well, the journey is over. We've spent 6 weeks up down this aisle doing the I Am's. And if you've been kind enough to come on the journey, you have listened to the I Am's, and some of them were quite interesting. And some of them are kind of strange, but you've listened to them, and here we are on Easter Sunday. And all I have to say is, what is it in the name? It's interesting we're talking about a name today. It's interesting that the name that is coming out of this gospel lesson is something that's very serious. But before we talk about that, we need to talk about the tomb. We need to talk about the tomb that is empty and why it is empty and who sees this empty tomb and who doesn't understand anything about it. For some reason, it's a strange phenomena that's going on. We have two disciples and we have Mary. Mary comes to the tomb. The stone has been rolled away. She looks in and she is distraught. She is grieving because her Jesus is gone. She goes back and she visits the disciples. And they come and see. And he is gone. And they don't know what to do with this either. They're worried. And all they can ask is, where is Jesus? It's interesting to me that the two disciples leave the tomb and go back wherever they were coming from. And Mary stays there and weeps. Mary stays there and grieves. And this gardener comes up to her and asks her why she is weeping. Well, it's interesting to me that all of these beings, all of these people are a part of Jesus's crowd, part of his disciples, and none of them remember or understand what is happening. They were all told throughout this story what would happen. They were all told that when he was crucified, he would be gone for 3 days. And yet they couldn't remember. And yet they chose not to remember, or maybe they just didn't get it. For you see, crucifixion was not the end. The crucifixion of Jesus was not the end. Just like Good Friday is not the end. It is the beginning. We are standing or sitting at the beginning of who we are and who we belong to. Mary is in the garden weeping, and this gardener shows up. And the gardener asks her, why are you weeping? She doesn't get it still. If you took my Jesus away, give him back to me so I can take care of him. You see, Mary was there for a very clear reason. In the traditions that she was living in, she was preparing him for burial. She was preparing his body for the end. And yet she couldn't do that because he was not there. All she was worried about was where this body was. And no one would tell her. And the disciples were not listening. And so here we are in a dilemma. Mary is grieving so hard. Mary is not sure what is going on. The angels are saying to her, why are you grieving? Took my Jesus. And finally, one of those angels finally uses the strongest word that she could hear Mary, and she got it. That would be the strongest word that anyone could hear. That would be like me saying Alan or John or Ellen or whatever your name is. I know your name. It would be getting your attention. There is nothing more serious than being called to attention. For you see, in this structure, in this ability, in this, we are told that the power of a person's name is so important. You see, when we are baptized, we are named as Christ's child. We are named as a child of God. And there is nothing to be denied about that. We are named and claimed as one of God's own. Do you ever remember when you were a kid in school? You never did anything bad in school. So you never had a principal saying, whatever your name was, come with me. You're going to the principal's office. That never happened to me. It might have happened to you, but it never happened to me. Or being asked to go see someone. But being called by name to do something. Being called by name to be a part of something. Being called by name to be a part of something. I remember when I was in high school being called by name to be told by God that I would become a minister. And if that isn't scary, it was on an Easter Sunday, and I was alone, and I thought I was not hearing things right, and yet here I am, many, many, many years later. But when God speaks to us, and God calls us by name, we hear and we listen. Mary heard her name being called. Mary got it. It took Mary a little bit of time to get it, but she got it. Sometimes we do not hear when God calls our name. Sometimes we do not hear when others call our name. When we have a message from God. Sometimes we have a hard time hearing when we are being called by name. I like using John as an example. It's fun to do this. John happens to be my husband. John is a person I'm in a relationship. John is the love of my life. But John is also a child of God. And John will always protect me. And John will always be in relationship with God. And John will always listen to the word of God. And that is something that is strong, stronger than anything I can do, stronger than anything I can ask for. Mary heard God's voice. Mary understood what was being asked. You could say that Mary was one of the first evangelists because Jesus told her to go back and see the brethren and tell them what was to be done. I don't know if you would believe that or not, but it's possible. My hope for you this day, as you listen to this scripture, as you read this story, and I know you've heard this story before, and I know that Mary has been center in this story before, is that as you read the story again, put your name where Mary is and know that you have been called and claimed as God's child, that you have been claimed as his only one, the one that has been called and named and claimed as his child of God, chosen to be loved, to be cared for, to have your heart opened wide, and to be known by God. My challenge for you is that you continue to be open to God's words and God's wisdom, God's mercy and God's love. Amen.